Recording started.
Michael phone.
Oh, Michael, your phone. She Michael on my phone till I don't know.
You were quick with that.
All right, what are we doing?
Oh, I forgot to send it to you. Hold on.
Yeah, can we have it? Can we have it? I want to see the thing.
Please. Why do I have two different contacts for the same email address? What's the deal with that, Google? Today is hopefully short.
Uh-huh.
I say that a lot, but today I mean it because I said so, and because as the sort of glorious leader of writing this podcast, I don't know where I was.
You can say whatever you want.
I can say whatever I want.
That doesn't make it true, but you can certainly try.
I can say lies. I like to say lies. That's my favorite thing on this show. My second favorite thing is the air horn. Also, all of you, will this be out? Oh, no, this won't be out by Sunday. Never mind.
No.
I was going to say, all of you, make sure to come and say hi to me at Pride. That's all.
I'll be at Pride.
I know you will.
Alex, will you be at Pride?
I'll be at Logan.
Oh, okay. Close enough. Logan, parentheses, gay, close parentheses.
But I do move next week, so.
I'm excited.
This weekend may be the busiest weekend of my life, maybe ever.
Really? Beats Christmas and Easter?
Christmas is not a weekend, and...
Oh,
Easter, I only have weekend. Like one thing to do. This weekend, I have, it's Pentecost, which is another big holiday, and it's Pride, so I have to be prepared for Pentecost, and also because the parade goes by the church, we're doing a hydration station again, and so I have naturally been put in charge of that, and also the diocese has a booth at the festival this year, which I have been recruited to help man. And so
you seem to be recruited for everything.
Yes, I think that's because I have a volunteer spirit.
Real life social media, if you will.
Oh, and also my new job. So
what are you gonna somehow be at Pride for two churches at once?
Yes.
Wait, did you get the job? Damn.
I did get the job. Oh yeah, that's
congratulations.
News. The news. I got the other job.
Wow, I know you were doubting it, so
I was doubting it, and I guess I was
hater, loser, doubter.
They call me Thomas, the way that I was of little faith and doubted.
I'm sure someone gets that.
Someone gets that, and I appreciate those of you who do.
Giles gets that.
Giles gets that.
Yeah.
Giles is Episcopaled. Okay.
like the channel
cross promotion.
All right, let's hit let's clap those cheeks. Three, two, one. One,
two,
three,
four,
five, six.
From the top, one. Or sorry, from like the middle where we start counting. One,
two,
three.
Four.
Five.
Six.
Seven.
Eight.
Nine.
Nine. Crap! This is not good
enough,
Kyle.
Third time's the charm. One.
Two.
Three.
Four.
Five.
Six.
Seven.
Eight.
Nine.
Ten.
11.
12. I don't know.
Congratulations.
I don't know what part of my psyche demanded that I do that, but...
We've been doing this pattern for, like, how long? It's got to have been at least a year. It's been a staple of the fully remote recording.
I really don't know how I did that. I don't know how I screwed this up.
Well, it's in the past.
They call me stupid. Okay, the way I'm stupid. Okay, welcome to the internet, live from two different states for the first time ever. Well, not really. It was supposed to be, but that didn't happen. This is the Red Line Podcast. I'm your Leave It In, Kyle, It's Intentional host, quote, Idahoan, unquote, Dunstan. Oh, wait, no, I was supposed to say I'm you are. I'm doing this again.
This is a written joke that you're trying to do phonetically.
I'm
you're a
doing
failure.
This again. Welcome to the internet, live from two different states for the first time ever, except not really, because we've delayed recording by a week and a half. This is the Red Line Podcast. I'm UR, leave it in, Kyle, it's intentional, host, Idaho and Dunstan, and these are my co-hosts.
Kyle, quote, potato flakes, close quote, Holland, and...
Alex, quote, soon to be 17, enjoy it again, close quote, Fielder. Today, we're talking about one of North America's most incredible and under-discussed metro systems, the creatively named Metroni?
Metroray.
Metroray. How did
Thank
I mess that up?
Thank you for pronouncing that for us.
We'll talk about the system and its future after the news.
The past, present, any of that? Just future? We're on a budget today.
There is not much past in this episode because it's very hard to find sources in other languages when you're searching in English. What is history in Spanish?
You got to go to like different countries, Google, and translate not just the results but the queries.
Yes, and that was kind of a problem, and so I sort of am. This will be surface level, and we're just going to talk about why I think this is cool, and a little bit of its history.
We like talking about cool things.
The Federal Railway Administration's politically motivated investigation of California high-speed rail has finally borne fruit, and the agency is now threatening to terminate two major grants to the project. Secretary of Transportation Sean Duffy was quoted as saying, quote, "Our country deserves high-speed rail that makes us proud, not boondoggle trains to nowhere," unquote. Last time I checked, San Francisco and Los Angeles, you know, cities with 10 million people in their metro area each, are in fact the middle of nowhere.
Well, it's California and liberals aren't real people.
Well, and all these, like, Republicans who claim to be, like, so, like, countrified actually just live in, like, freaking Atlanta. So they're all East Coasters, and they think that everything in the West is just, like, two tumbleweeds and a rock.
And then this project is in the one part of the West that is not, in fact,
hey,
two tumbleweeds
one of
and
the
a rock,
two parts the of the West that are not two tumbleweeds and a rock.
What's the other part?
Cascadia. There's, like...
Yeah, I'll give the whole coast.
There's, like, 10 million people... between
CHSR to Canada when
that would be I think we should extend Portland's yellow line all the way from Canada to
can to we have Mexico? It switch colors every 10 miles
yeah just for just for fun. That was a deep cut, so and take what I'm about to say with a grain of salt because it is by the Trump administration and therefore just full of shit.
Well, the whole point of this investigation is to get to a predetermined result, which is that the feds can obliterate funding as they please with the funding laser.
Yeah, and I put their 9, quote, key findings. Thank you for, you know, complying in advance, Mass Transit Magazine. But it's like, oh, they've changed things in their project because things change. They've missed a deadline.
Should we just puke on these, like, one at a time?
Sure, let's do it. Kyle, go through them. You know more about this than I do.
Okay, you read them, I'll puke. Or Alex.
Quote, CHSRA has executed numerous change orders and will likely have many more change orders in the near future to account for contractor expenses as a result of project delays.
This happens on every project.
Yes.
I kid you not, actually every project, no matter how big, no matter how small.
CHSRA has missed their deadline for finalizing rolling stock procurement.
Yeah, meanwhile, the Acela, which is doing great at rolling stock procurement. Meanwhile, Brightline, which is doing great at rolling stock procurement. Meanwhile,
CHSRA has
nobody
at
is
least
good at
a
that.
$7 billion funding gap to complete the EOS with, quote, no credible plan, unquote, to secure additional funds.
This is not in any way news, but I wouldn't give the actual High Speed Rail Authority too much shade on funding.
That would be the
because
fault
the
High of Speed Gavin
Rail Authority,
Newsom.
Yeah, you should give the Gav tons of shade. But the authority themselves knows what they're doing, and they adjust the annual like cash burn rate and the rate at which things are actually being constructed so that the project can continue to survive in the face of massive political volatility at the state and federal level.
See,
so the funding gap is because we are not funding the project, and the study is saying because the project has a funding gap, we should not fund the project.
CHSRA does not have a viable path to complete the EOS by 2033 per its commitment in the fiscal year 10 agreement and the FSP agreement. I feel like that's just not true.
Because the project... I'm not even going to check if it's true. If it's not true, then we can dismiss it as bullshit. If it's true, the project does not have enough money to build fast enough to finish on time, so we shouldn't give the project enough money to build fast enough to finish on time.
CHSRA relies on non-federal funding sources, which present significant project risk. I thought you guys were all about, like, states' rights and crap.
Yeah, this project has always been a, like, state funding first project. It's overwhelmingly state funding, which it probably shouldn't be, just because of how we built the interstates and the fact that this project is competing with the interstates and being built in a political climate that works in the same way as the interstates. But this has always been a state-funded project, and frankly, the state funding is less volatile than the federal funding.
CHSRA lacks...
Despite the GAV.
CHSRA lacks time and money to electrify the EOS by 2033, which is the same as item 4.
C4.
Yeah. CHSRA's budget contingency is inadequate to cover anticipated contractor delay claims. C item...
Shut the... Actually, on this one, stop doing contingencies. Contingencies are a horrible way of managing project risk and managing the real world. See the recent LA Sepulveda line budget, which is actually looking great for once. They might actually build heavy rail instead of a shitty monorail with no ridership and terrible station placement. But they're still staring down the barrel at a 40% contingency on a several billion dollar project. 40%.
CHSRA.
So we don't want contingency inflation. We want less contingency. We want more of the government just coming face to face directly with risk and not trying to pay it off in advance.
CHSRA has overrepresented its ridership projections for the EOS substantially. Fake news. Just a lie.
Somehow,
just
I bet
not
the Trump
true.
Administration just found different numbers.
Just sort of poof them out of midair. And then finally, this is the same thing they've said like four times. They can't complete the EOS by 2033.
We shouldn't give them money to complete the initial operating segment because they don't have the money to complete the initial operating. What?
So, are they wrong? Yes. Will revoking federal grants help? No. This is just more slash and burn nonsense from the Trump administration. Oh, and in administration, I want to make sure everyone knows I did scare quotes when I said that. So,
okay, thank you for the scare quotes.
Only a government in like the most technical sense.
Real. No, see every funding dispute ever. Just ask the question: do we want project eventually?
Yeah, I think we want project now.
Yeah, well, but do we want project ever? For California high-speed rail, the answer is a hard yes if we want to survive climate change. See the air market between LA and San Francisco. See Interstate 5. If the answer to that question is yes, then the more money we can spend to build this sooner, the cheaper the project will be, and the longer we can spend enjoying the benefits. The more you slash funding, the more expensive the project gets.
Shocker.
MAGA, we're making America great again.
See, California high-speed rail.
Yeah, make California great again. Fuck America. no, I think that
is the GAV going to anchor his new moderate bid for president with make California great again?
The GAV is not going to ever be president of the United States, and here's why. Because even though I agree with him on many things, he is a spineless piece of shit and does not have the capacity to lead this country.
Apparently he had Charlie Kirk on just to make him look more right-wing.
Like, I'm sorry, dude, but you're never going to pull that off as the governor of California. California! Just lean into it, man. Know that you're a hippie liberal Californian and live with it.
Please. Well, and then after the Harris bid for election, what did shifting right, gently shimmying in like a polite Midwest manner to the right get us?
Here's my thing. I think that policy does not matter in elections anymore. That actually nothing matters in election anymore except messaging and media control. And
there's one more thing that matters.
What's that?
The Electoral College. Yeah. And how many people live in blue states? And California can fix that one.
We can actually fix that particular electoral problem for Democrats. We have not yet come up with a solution for liberals to dominate the sort of evil social media environment that we all live in. But we can actually just make more people live in blue states and win elections that way. So maybe let's do that.
Especially specifically California. So if the Gav wants a better chance at Democrats being a president, he should get more housing
Gavin,
in the damn state.
Gavin, if you want to be president, Mr. Governor Gavin Newsom, sir, if you would like to be president of these God-blessed United States, you should force the California legislature to pass Senate Bill 79 and, you know, abolish zoning. All right. This has been the news.
Do-dee-do-dee-do.
Monterrey, Mexico.
It's not a city that most people in America would think of very much, if at all. But maybe we should.
Well, it is in Mexico.
Yeah, and Mexico.
Okay, but we think about Canadian cities of this size a lot. Like, this is of a comparable size to, like, Montreal, or, like, substantially larger than Vancouver. And
we're, like, comparing us to the randomest crap in Canada, but apparently Mexico denial.
Yeah, this is Mexico denial.
Yeah, as you said, it's about the same size as cities like Boston and Montreal. It's got 5.3 million people. And that's actually larger than Boston and Montreal.
Oh, that's huge.
Yeah, Boston has 4.9 million people.
Looking on the map, it doesn't look that huge.
That's because they have this thing in other countries, Kai. You might not have heard of it. It's called density.
Yeah, it looks really dense.
Suspicious.
On the map.
Well, because it's not full of parking lots.
Yeah. Well, actually, yeah. But that doesn't mean they don't have traffic problems, which is why we're talking about them, is because they have a bang-up metro system. And
I don't think that was a joke.
As it turns out, they do have... What was the joke?
Oh, I was banging up the cymbal and drums.
Oh, bang up. Oh. Uh-huh, uh-huh. Is that what that means?
No.
Okay.
Not at all.
Okay.
I'm just wasting your time.
Kind of just being interesting.
Fine. It's not a short episode, so.
Yeah, it's already like almost a half hour. Jeez.
Yeah. Anyway, as it turns out, which might be a surprise to all us Americans, other countries have traffic problems.
Whoa, shocker. It's not just US America?
No, shockingly not. And Monterey was growing rapidly in the 1980s, and with this growth, congestion increased as well. The local government had considered building additional roadways throughout the city, but after thinking about it, which is pretty uncommon, they decided to build a metro system instead.
A government thinking? Never heard of it. I'm an American.
Yeah, makes me wonder how the actual politics of this played out.
Well, and this is,
like,
this is
how much of this was people yelling at them.
This is going to be really interesting because, and we'll get to this in just a second, let Alex finish the next line and then I can explain to you what
cook,
this means.
Cook.
Beginning in the 1980s, this started when Mexico was still an illiberal one-party democracy. Think Singapore. Under the PRI, you could kind of just do things like this.
Yeah, so if people don't really know, this isn't common knowledge in America, but Mexico was, for most of the 20th century, probably from about the 30s, but don't quote me on that because it's been a little while since my comparative democracies class. Mexico, from the 1930s until 2000, the year of our Lord 2000, just, you know, 25 years ago, was kind of like not a democratic country. It had, you know, all the sort of paper, like, it had the aesthetics of democracy, right? Like, they had elections every year. They were free elections every, you know, however often, you know, presidents changed power. But the entire time in basically every part of the country, what was called the Parti Révolutionnaire International, and I said that all like French, but it's, or institutional, the Institutional Revolution Party, which is Parti Revolutionary Institutional in Spanish, they controlled the entire country and sort of operated the entire country on a patronage system, basically. So this metro system we're talking about here probably got its start as basically like a patronage perk for the people of Monterey. Yeah.
Huh.
High quality refined corruption. I do feel like just my standard high school education left this like completely out. Like I did not know this. Left this completely out and spent way too much time talking about Russia.
Well, and look, there's a reason for that, and it's that Mexico is, no offense to our Mexican listeners, who I don't know that we have any, but if we do, no offense. To the United States, foreign policy is not that important because we have had a fairly amenable relationship for quite a long time now. Like it's got its sort of bumpy patches, mostly regarding immigration, but we have not like, you know, been actively feuding with them or plotting war against them until very recently, for a very long time.
Yeah, I feel like we also didn't learn a lot about our own country, but I digress.
Well, we didn't learn about Canada. I know people who think that Canada has, like, a president. So anyway.
But anyway, the construction of what would become Line 1 began in 1988, and just 3 years later, in 1991, it opened to popular acclaim. It's 17 stations and 11 miles of track, and this was a modest start to a system that would become a real workhorse.
Yeah, like, I don't know, that for a sort of largely elevated line, especially, or in this case, an exclusively elevated line, quite like frequent stop spacing. Like, this is like a proper like inner city metro, not like the weird American things where it's like, hey, let's have a stop every 5 miles.
Ah, so this is, well, it's not quite New York stuff. Like they've done like proper stop consolidation. These are like half a mile apart even, which is in the realm of the ideal stop spacing on a rail line when you want full coverage along the length of the line.
Yes. Oh, and wow. The funny thing about this is that it didn't, like, technically go into the city center.
Huh. And yet was still presumably incredibly useful.
Yes. This is, like, I'm going to call this line Toronto Core, and you'll see why in a second, or if you look at the map. The Google map.
Very Toronto Core.
Because there is a U line, and there is a long straight line along the edge, or sort of skirting the city center, but still catching all the very dense areas,
all the important destinations. Well, and it's also great for construction because you've got an easy corridor to build elevated on.
This is line 2. This is what the 35 should become someday. Basically, no, it's just like a really long metro line built elevated in the middle of a wide boulevard for its entire length. Like, I wonder if we have any sort of,
yeah,
you know, similar.
No, I love this viaduct section. Like, this feels incredibly applicable to the U.S. American Strode. It's just this like skinny concrete thing poking out of the median.
Mm-hmm.
You know, comically wide road.
Did your research come up with any NIMBYs down in Mexico?
Oh, you're gonna love it in a couple minutes.
Okay. Okay. I'll read on that.
This first line, it seems, was not a problem. Or I didn't see any, you know, things that said it was a problem.
Again, research limitations.
I think it may be because it went through poorer areas. Whereas the other lines sort of strayed into wealthier areas of the city is my understanding.
Which I would be tempted to draw a parallel to highway construction, but in this case, they're not going around blowing stuff up. It just goes over an existing street.
Yeah.
Like, even the stations are crammed in the street right of way.
Mm-hmm. It's all very impressive.
Just a minor difference. But this minor line difference. This line was so popular that almost immediately they began talking about expanding the system. And construction on what would become Line 2, which was the second line, began in 1993, only 2 years after the first line opened.
And then it was finished like a year later.
Holy crap.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
I believe that this was cut and cover.
Okay, I was going to say, Line 2's got subway,
This is a subway. The first section of the line is exclusively a subway. And it goes into, like, the city center.
Still, like, though, the public square level of stuff.
Yeah, I think it's the Google Maps calls it La Macro Plaza.
Huh.
Which is cool. Next to the Palacio de Gobernero del Estado de Nuevo León.
I wonder who might work there.
The governor of this, of del Estado de Nuevo León, perhaps.
Wow, you said the line. And this one and line one have a cool cross transfer where line one goes elevated and then line two is underground and then bam, transfer, and there's a road sandwiched in the middle.
And there is also like this crazy flyover thing that allows them to connect. Did you see that?
Oh, that's hilarious. What the hell?
It's a single track thing and it.
Yeah, and then it goes down into the tunnel. Uh-huh. That's
engineering that excites. Quite something.
Well, it goes like into the roof of an adjacent building. Like, this is crack ass engineering.
This is some Japan level stuff right here. Yeah. And I mean that as a compliment, to be clear, because they do crazy things like that all the time. So do the Chinese.
Well,
okay, yes, continue, Alex.
Well, yeah, as you said, it was built underground to begin with, but still 6 stations within the year, and it only took 2 years of planning.
Like I said, authoritarian governments have the benefit of kind of just being able to do whatever they want. It does make it a bit easier to build things.
Yeah.
Well, that's true. And I think in this case, it's a mix of, you know, authoritarian, the government doing whatever the fuck it wants, whenever and wherever it wants, regime, and with just the type of project this is.
And also
which
the
is
fact
cut
that,
and cover
that,
and built...
That Mexican labor regulations in the 1990s were not famous for being stringent.
And, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, and then also, this is a cut and cover line built essentially entirely underneath a wide road.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah.
And that does make it easy.
Yeah. So you can imagine an actually democratic planning regime that... has the power and agility to actually pull something like this off on a reasonable time frame.
Yeah.
If you find one, let me know.
The answer is Japan and South Korea France and Germany and the Netherlands, Sweden, Belgium, Norway, Finland, Poland.
I think that's good enough.
Crying.
Australia for a while.
You've hurt my soul enough already.
Well, despite the rapid expansion of Line 2, it would take a long time. Well, not a super long time, but it wouldn't be until 2007 and 2008 that Line 2 would be extended 8 stations to the north.
Yeah, serving...
that's quite a lot longer than the normal... The original.
Serving such surprising locations as stadiums, a university, dense neighborhoods.
Wow.
Hospital.
That's a big old stadium, yeah. It kind of just like pops out of the street. The street like parts ways like the Red Sea.
The Red Line podcast comparison is going biblical today. I mean, that's not an infrequent occurrence because I'm on here, but.
Well,
as man, they've got so many like crack pedestrian bridges.
Second world urban planning is very interesting.
Well, as you prefaced earlier, the line was built elevated, and there was a massive NIMBY response backlash to it.
Yeah, and the governor at the time, according to the translated the Google Translate service Wikipedia article, quote, just ignored it.
Damn. Wow. Still maybe a little bit authoritarian. Well,
no, I don't know if it's about authoritarianism. It's just they kind of just ignored the protests like they didn't care.
Yeah, that's true. Sounds... You can do that. I don't know.
Like, protests.
I don't know
not...
what environmental law looks like in Mexico.
Yeah, I don't know that you want to know what environmental law looked like in Mexico in 2008.
I have a suspicion that it did not exist.
I think it probably existed. Oh, I'm just thinking it was probably not very stringent, since at that time I think we were still sending like toxic waste to Mexico to have it disposed of.
It probably existed in the same way it existed here in like the 50s.
Yeah.
So.
Oh boy. No, I'm just thinking like the only like material legal right the general public has to halt an infrastructure project in America is under NEPA if it has X, Y, or Z outsized impact on X, Y, or Z group, and you can prove that and the government can't unprove it. Rarely is this anything that could ever actually be used to stop a project, and certainly not a project like this that just runs in the middle of the street. This is something used to stop projects that run through like wetlands.
No, it's not. This is something you use to stop every project ever.
No, I mean the actual like material legal mechanism that NEPA is supposed to use to stop projects.
Well,
not the thousand other ways it just bogs everything down when anybody yells at anything with no grounds.
I just wanted to make sure and clarify that.
Yeah. No, I'm sure in Mexico they have different ways for you to yell at cloud.
To be old man yelling at cloud. Yeah.
Is that Simpsons reference?
It is a Simpsons reference.
Wonderful.
Old man yells at elevated rail line.
Old man yells at cloud. This is now a Simpsons podcast. And if you're a patron, you can figure out why.
Oh, I forgot. Wow. I forgot no one else knows.
Is that a Simpsons reference?
No. I mean,
I don't know.
No, if it was a Simpsons reference, he would have gone, ha ha.
I've only watched 3 episodes.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Wink, wink. Anyway, the Metrorail's final line was completed just 3 years ago, bringing the system up to its current extent. It seems to through operate with line 2. So they really just have 2 metro lines at present.
Yeah, I was wondering about that because line
it's
2
Portland.
And line 3
it's
converge.
Portland. It's Portland. It's always Portland. They just change colors for no reason.
I wish they did it like DC did, where it's only in one direction.
Yes, I love to take the yellow line downtown and then the red line back home.
Yes, Portland, when they get a New Starts grant for one half of a line, one of the tracks and one half of each platform.
Well, maybe they'll get 2 New Start grants and they can build the, like, I don't know, the...
They can have a 4-colored line.
The, like, grurple line, the green-purple line, and it goes, like, sort of just off somewhere where no one will ride it, naturally. And, and I don't know.
Well, that brings us to Metrorail today, which is pretty much what we wish Seattle's Link Light Rail was.
Yeah,
fully grade separated, with high floor trains.
Yeah, and these are light rail
trains.
These are light rail trains. Yeah. Like these are not like heavy metro trains. These are like articulated light rail vehicles.
Yeah. Now, light rail trains are the future for a number of reasons, but for the love of God, get a high floor once.
It's not that hard. Do not let Muni scare you away from this, because they have the stupidest solution possible. Like, I mean, my favorite and the coolest solution possible, but also the stupidest solution possible.
Well, it might just be Muni carrying the rest of the country by keeping weird stair-changing cars in production as a possible bridge solution.
Many people are saying...
Although, to be fair...
That when we...
To be fair, the stair-changing cars have the same door reliability problem as a low-floor car, so maybe that's not worth shit.
But the problem with low floors is not... The main problem with low floors is not the doors, it's passenger circulation.
It's the circulation. Yes. Or the lack thereof.
Well, yes.
Signed every time I ride the red line.
Yeah. So.
Well, the comparisons to, well, I guess it wasn't a comparison to Link. But a comparison that you could make with Link was that in 2022, it was discovered that a lot of the pylons, and that's kind of an understatement, are supporting the station on line 2, which is actually 160 out of 168, which is over 95%, were defective, and the line was shut down for nearly a year.
That's a lot of
Does anybody
of
remember
concrete.
What happened with all the little the track supports on the floating bridge? This is not the
they
same
had to
thing,
replace all of
but
them.
They had to replace all of them.
Oh my god.
Well, or
goodness.
Or fix all of them, really, because these were like proper like pylons. These are not like little things holding up the tracks above the roadbed. These are like
these are the ones for the station.
Yeah, so that was a problem. They seem to have fixed it.
I'm imagining they're like jacking up the station to fix the pylons.
Yeah, this does seem to be a bit of an endemic problem in Mexico, actually, because as I recall, Mexico City had a problem with this a couple years ago as well.
Is it just bad concrete work? Like
it's,
how Florida is just physically incapable of building concrete buildings?
It's just bad concrete work, probably. You know, there is something to be said for this thing that we call in political science state capacity, and also technical knowledge. And while there is a plethora of those things in all countries, some countries have less of it than others, and I think that may be coming to bear here a little bit.
Makes me...
And again, it varies place to place, too. Like in the U.S., Florida notoriously sucks at concrete for a number of like legal, institutional, cultural, stored knowledge reasons.
So Florida handshake, Nuevo León... bad at concrete.
It makes me wonder.
Well, at least
they're
not dropping pedestrian bridges out of the sky.
Oh, somebody's been listening to. Well, there's your problem.
Yeah. I made it through both Titanic episodes, about 5 hours, and the MBTA Silver Line episode last week.
Do you do this
while
you're
working?
I was
writing to Provo for no reason. No, I do work while I'm working. No, I was writing to Provo.
Well, I understand that,
Kyle. Keep my mind off writing to
Provo.
I
also do work while I'm working, but I also normally listen to things to help me concentrate.
Ah, I suck at doing that.
Oh, interesting.
Which is entirely a skill issue on my end.
So you listen to nothing?
Yeah, Kyle kind of raw dogs most things that he does, which I am personally sort of simultaneously impressed and horrified by.
Sometimes I am, too.
You don't really listen to music, do you?
I focus worse with music. I don't know why.
How
I think
about
I'm too busy listening to the music.
How about peppermint gum? Does that help?
I'm more of a Cheez-It guy.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah, because like I find it incredibly distracting to sit in a silent room. I like to have something playing so that I can like. I don't know. Maybe this is like, maybe I do have ADHD. I don't know.
See, I like
most people work better with music, I feel like.
Is that true?
I think
no, I have no fucking clue. Do I look like a psychiatrist?
No, but you look like you're smarter than me.
Astrologist,
so...
an astronomer.
I do best
domain knowledge.
I do best with podcasts or like people talking, so I have something to tune out.
Yeah, and that's interesting, isn't it? I almost prefer like a podcast to music if the music has words in it. If it's instrumental music, sure, whatever. But if it has like words, that's a problem. But if it has but if it's
I don't have that problem because I also suck at understanding lyrics without captions.
Yeah, and I don't know.
I feel like we're all very
again,
different.
Skill issue.
I guess.
Yeah.
Anyway,
have to celebrate our differences.
I'm pretty sure we were talking about trains a minute ago.
Yeah, we were.
So maybe.
Oh yeah, they have a station on Line 3 called Los Angeles.
Huh.
This is also quite similar to Los Angeles.
Well, unlike Los Angeles, trains run as often as every 4 minutes during peak periods.
And they carry
and the system carries
a lot of people.
Slightly less than 400,000 people per day.
Holy crap.
What's the per mile per day ridership on this? Let me see. 400,000.
25 route miles.
Divided by 25. 16,000 riders per mile per day.
Wow.
A lot of light rail systems in the U.S. can't do 16,000 per direction per hour.
True. This is a very good use of the elevation.
Mm-hmm.
This station's must be really like big as well to handle this many people, or at least better.
Well, they don't have to be because this is a high frequency.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, there's a trade-off between station size and train frequency. If you can move more shorter trains more often, then the circulation is spread out. You're not just shitting out a 1,000-person train in one go like BART.
Well, and also this is like 4-car high-floor light rail trains, which has like just bonkers capacity.
Yeah, I always
and
forget.
Lots and lots of doors.
And lots of doors.
Capacity.
And doors are more important than people think.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Plus lots of stations. Like they're not skimping. So people will be getting on and off at like all sorts of stations all over the place. This is again not like BART that just dumps everybody in one spot. 4 spots, I guess, but I digress.
What are those spots? Those spots presumably being downtown San Francisco, downtown Oakland.
The four on Market Street.
And
no, I
Berkeley.
Mean the 4 stations on Market Street.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, 50,000 people in a station is not that many. I'm not kidding. Like, on an international scale, like, 50,000 people at Embarcadero every day was not, like, actually that much. I mean, it's a lot, but it's not that much.
Okay. Point is, when you're doing system design and you want to keep costs down, build more smaller stations and run more smaller trains.
Have they fixed Google Maps' transit layer? Is that what I'm seeing here?
What do you mean by fix?
I mean, it doesn't suck as badly as it used to. Oh, nope, I just went to Chicago. Okay. That's the eternal test.
Yes. Scroll out carefully on Chicago and just watch it shit.
Or scroll in and sort of just see it like...
Oh, true.
Like, what is the blue line doing?
No, I feel like Monterey is a very simple case for the Google Maps transit layer with 3 simple lines running on road right-of-ways.
It doesn't
even handle
Salt Lake well.
It really doesn't. Like, those, like, corners, it just does not like.
Anyway. Monterey also has a substantial BRT system, which we didn't mention before.
I was just looking at that on the road. They've got, like, this whole... Center running median thing on Avenue Ruiz Cortines.
Yeah, there are 30 such lines.
Yeah, what you're
30
looking at
BRTs.
Is
yeah.
Transmetro is what they call it. And it's pretty much
Holy
just a feeder.
And I think it's sort of
like, wow, they've got this little starter light rail.
What are you talking? No. Little starter? Kyle, what are you talking about? This thing carries 400,000 people a day. This thing carries more people than the Boston Tea. Wait. No, it doesn't. It carries almost as many people as the Boston Tea.
Okay, well, I'm used to, like, America, where we build everything in the 1900s, and there's, like, a spaghetti bowl of lions, and this one has, like, functionally two.
Well, it's, like, just like Toronto, which, interestingly, carries, like, 2 million people a day, so...
Holy hell. The magic of good system design.
I know. Just wait till the Ontario line comes, then RM Transit will, like, actually explode in happiness. Even though he quit. Okay, Rip so Reese. Giant...
Oh, Rip.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, he's not doing, like... He himself is not doing videos as much anymore, I think, is the gist of what's going on.
Retiring. Yeah, he's
I think, stepping down from being RM Transit.
Oh.
Which is interesting.
Well, he's been at it for flipping forever, so. Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
He deserves a break. Yeah. Okay, BRT system. Do we have a map of the BRT? Because as discussed, the Google Maps transit layer sucks.
I'll show you the page. Cool. Oh, maybe we do. Is this?
Oh, I might have someone.
Transmetro, Indies, Rutas. No.
Here, I got a PDF.
Did you get something?
Mm. Oh.
No, that is us, Kyle. That's what we've already been talking about.
Well, they've got the green lines for Transmetro. I was expecting more.
No, but there are.
It says that in the legend.
I think that those might be the good Transmetro lines. I think that Transmetro may also be local, but I don't know what's happening.
Well, if anyone wants to give us more information...
I would actually like very much to hear about this.
Yeah, that would be pretty sweet.
Oh, I found something.
Uh-huh.
This may be good. I think this shows more of our routes here.
Oh, yeah.
That's got more routes. Completely illegible, but yeah, shows good stuff.
I'll send you the link for this.
Thanks.
Because this is primarily the map for something that is different. And I think that Monterey maybe is relying heavily on what we would call informal transportation, I would suspect.
Mm.
So yeah.
This is a map I found, but it has nowhere near the number of lines.
This one is very... this is very confusing to me.
I don't think that has any more than the official map. Can you send the link for that one too, Alex?
Sure, yeah. This is seems to only be like the connections, like direct connections.
So anyway,
And like the official sanctioned high quality Transmetro where they've got, you know, like fully dedicated median lanes.
Well, and as we know, BRT does not always mean the same thing to everyone, so
it sounds like here it means BRT. Capital B, capital R, capital T.
Oh, I think this is what you're looking for. This is someone's, like, personal Google Maps.
Oh, this is interesting. No, this is... this is quite clearly, I think, a fantasy map.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And holy cow.
Yeah.
This person really went like Parisian level maximalism here.
Oh, yeah, no. It definitely is fantasy because that's a map.
Yeah, all of this is Metro.
Fantaseando. Well, I'm glad to know that they have. How do you say crayon in Mexico? Or if I say crayon in Mexican, I'm an idiot.
In Mexico?
How do they say crayon in Spanish? Because I'm not a stupid illiterate person. I'm gonna look this up. Hold on. Google Translate. Oh, sad. it says lapis de couleur. Oh, and I said that French again. Lapis de color. So we're gonna say lapis de color. I'm glad that they have those in Mexico. I think that is very good.
Yeah.
I wonder if there are people who just like are like me, and when they're walking down the street in Monterey and they see the train above them sort of go by, and they just sort of have like a sicko moment every time that happens.
You know, if there's NIMBYs, there's got to be some transit hawks.
No, it's always great because whenever I come back into town from my parents, I'm always sort of like looking next to the freeway, and the front runner comes by, and I'm like, ah, yes, I am home.
Train.
That's kind of what I think when I drive in to Salt Lake from this one horse town.
Oh, be kind to Logan. Be kind to Logan. It is at least a two horse town.
They have an entire ag school. They could make new horses.
It's an expression, Kyle. It doesn't actually mean it doesn't have anything to do with horses.
Now I'm just ready to move. So anyway,
yeah, let's continue. Let's
get back on track or gadget.
Oh, bomb. I just started headcanoning Boise Light Rail again. Okay,
one of my favorite activities. Sobs slightly.
Now imagine that, but with full grade separation.
Oh, it would be so much. It wouldn't be that much harder to. Anyway, doesn't matter.
Okay, so Metroway of the future. There's three new lines under construction.
Yeah, right as we now. Speak.
Damn.
As we speak, and they were going hard. They were planned starting in, get this, 2021.
Holy hell!
Yeah, jeez.
COVID? No, full speed.
So, line 4 is a conventional metro rail connecting the southwestern parts of the city to the city centro and metro. Monorail.
Monorail. Yeah, this is going to be an actually existing monorail line.
Wow, being built on like a normal schedule and budget?
Yes, and I believe that it will through run with the 6. So with the completion of this, they will actually have 3 metro lines in Monterey.
I wonder what made them choose a monorail instead of just doing more of the same elevated stuff.
I think because monorail aerials are probably legitimately cheaper to construct than regular train aerials. So if you're going to build an all elevated line, it may make sense. And also, I think that there may have been some Belt and Road going on with this. Do we know what Belt and Road is?
No.
It's ringing a bell. Just like one bell, though.
So Belt and Road is this like Chinese sort of soft power program where they give grants to developing countries to build infrastructure projects, like the Addis Ababa light rail thing.
I remember.
And yep. I think there may be something like that going on here, although I couldn't tell, so I may be entirely off base with this. This is purely speculation, but that is a possibility here. And China actually builds like a lot of like transit monorails. So,
So this is probably actually going to be just fine.
Probably.
Well, what's speculation but an unverified fact?
That's right. And what is journalism if not platforming such things?
This is the Red Line Podcast.
Anyway, back to what we believe is true. Line 5 will be some sort of gadget barn tram hybrid thing called Autonomous Rapid Transit, or ART, I guess we could just say. We've talked about it before, and part of it will be elevated? Question mark.
Weird.
It's a very fancy BRT is what it is. That will be automated, and Chinese technology again here, which is why I suspect. But yes, this will serve the sort of like southeastern corridor that kind of branches off from the main city, as you can see on Google Maps.
Yeah.
Walmart.
This has been... Hey. Walmart?
There's a Walmart. I didn't think they had Walmart in Mexico. They also apparently have HEB, which is a Texas chain. Huh.
Interesting.
Well, with Walmart brings more NIMBYs, because this line has also generated the most controversy because it blocks views and takes away car lanes.
The more things change, the more they stay the same.
So cost effective rapid transit in the middle of existing roads on skinny ass concrete structures.
Yeah, and I think that this may have been intended to be another monorail line, but the NIMBYs made it this instead. So my apologies to all the people of southeastern Monterey area.
So maybe it's running in like mixed traffic if lanes are the concern. I guess we'll see.
Perhaps.
In the picture, which I assume we can put on YouTube, is this what it will look like? Is it this?
I think that that is what it will look like, yes.
Okay. So the...
Presumably without the sort of, you know, Chinese characters, but...
maybe. We'll see. So do the lines on the road in front of it, is that just how it stays on track?
Yeah, that it uses like an optical thing to...
Oh, is this one of those like cracked, like rubber tired trams?
That is exactly what this is.
Oh my god, I've seen these before. This is the weirdest vehicle type ever.
Does it happen to be solar paneled, so it will never stop running?
if only. We simply need to increase the energy density of sunlight.
Anyway, Line 6 is another controversial monorail, which we think will run through with Line 4, and it will serve the northeast of the city.
I mean, that would make sense if they're both of the monorail lines. A crosstown line is always infinitely more useful than one that stops in the middle.
Yes, it is. But yeah, look, you can see Line 6 here under construction.
Very cool. Wow, that's very cool.
Next to this really Ram truck. Monterey may be like the most American Mexican city, I gotta be real with you.
If they've got Walmart and they've got NIMBYs.
Well, and they have I think it is a fairly wealthy area of...
So they can buy Ram trucks.
They can buy Ram trucks. And it is very close to Texas, so you know.
That would do it. That being in America.
Yeah.
Maybe one day we'll get a cross country monorail.
Inshallah. And
I guess international monorail.
Well, if we were smart, we would build an international light rail line and extend the San Diego light rail into Tijuana, but we hate brown people.
The San Diego Tijuana does pretty well as it is because you have to do the border crossing eventually, because we're broke, unlike Europe, and somehow don't have a unified economic area.
Here's a thought. What if instead of, you know, trying to build a wall to keep out our less wealthy suburban neighbors, we like invested in them and like, you know, help their economy be better, and then we could like, you know, just not have a crazy insane-o border anymore.
To do that,
I'd be happy with like.
I know foreign aid is like bad and evil or whatever these days, but like, you know, just a thought.
If we're going to be interventionists, maybe it could be a little bit good and not just bombs.
Yeah, like the current president is talking about invading Mexico to stop the fentanyl trade. And I'm not sure, one, that will work, or what? Two, that that's not just going to make things worse in the long run. Like,
yeah, you're talking about helping other countries and also helping their economy when we're not even helping ourselves or our economy.
Well, at the moment, certainly not. No, since we have this thing called tariffs, which are the equivalent of dropping a nuclear bomb into your economy.
And then immediately backing out.
In a time, mind you, when we had a pretty decent economy before. like we had a very decent economy, then Trump gets into office, immediately GDP shrinkage. Like, come on, man. You didn't have to do anything, and you could have taken credit for Biden's good economy, and you just didn't.
Well, 3.5 years.
We could have an international Pacific Crest Trail.
Lord have mercy. Oh, that would be cool.
Dead ends at the wall.
That would be kind of awesome.
Yeah, you could hike all the way to like
scrolling the wall. It just ends.
You could hike to Cabo. Like, that'd be cool.
That would be so cool.
Does the PCT go into Canada?
I don't know.
I assume so.
Because I think you should be able to hike it all the way to like Denali, which is now Mount McKinley again because racism. Which
no more boy. Harvey Milk warship
either. Oh my god, he was literally in the Navy. What? Also, let's rename a ship named after Harriet Tubman. How are we going to spin this one? It's not racist, boys. Like, come on. What is wrong with these people? They are sick and degenerate. That's what they are. And seriously.
Well, in other news, Pacific Crest Trail also ends at the Canadian.
Boo! Come on, you canic bastards. Let us... Oh, I'm just feeling very hateful today towards all the governments of North America.
That's fine. That's understandable. Okay, well, anyway, are things actually looking good for Metrolay? Kind of crazy.
I'd say so. I actually enjoy doing things. Yeah.
I love actually not criticizing funding for not having funding to cut funding. But
you don't have enough money to do the thing that you want to do. Therefore, we're going to take money away from you. We want anyway. Big, beautiful light rail in this country, but not if we have to pay for it.
Please remember to like, comment, and subscribe if you're listening on YouTube, and to follow and leave a rating on iTunes and Spotify. If you like what we do here and like what we say here, consider becoming a member on Patreon.
Also, patrons, if you
receive early.
Don't like what we say here, because then you can get early access to sort of be mad at us sooner.
Yes, and you can also understand Simpsons references and why we make them. So yeah, you would get early access to regular episodes and exclusive content, which we are making more of, I swear. Also occasional merch drops. Uh-huh. So,
I think I'm going to plan for some of our upcoming video projects, additional coverage. I think kind of reaction video format where I cover more local lore for the patrons. That'll be a good new format.
Well, speaking of these fine people,
on both sides.
The fine people on both sides.
That of course means patrons and non-patrons, and has no reference to the 2016 Charlottesville rally. Actually existing projects here, $10 or more per month, we have Zach Adams, Aaron, Curtis Herring, Devin Zander, Phobos2390, and Tony Stunts.
At doing your concrete right the first time tier, our red line, $5 a month, we have Christopher Whaley, DJ High Will Watkins, Eliza Kensler, Isaac Madsen, Jesse Mayo, Nebula, reluctant LA resident, Robert P. Walsh, and Zephyr Zamora is back.
Woohoo! And Zephyr Zamora never left. Elevated. Real. The Zephyr was with us the whole time. Is Zephyr in the room with us? Yes. At Concrete Light Metro Viaduct in the middle of your favorite Strode tier, $3 a month, we have Alex Dykelski, Ben, Ethan McDonald, Evelyn, G4, Jack McCoskey, Litmus Zest, Martin Hacker Martinez, Matt Gray, McKay Ransom, Oliver, Sam Myers, Sky Lukowski, Toronto Transit Channel, and Zach Verstott.
And at Green Line tier, I guess line 2 is colored green in Metro Ray. We have Benjamin Wood, Joshua S. Horvath, Kapil, Ryan Bailey, and William Rowe.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening.